It's good morning. It's good to be with you again and get to preach the word this time again. It's good, good stuff. Would you stand and let's read from Romans 5 and just 1 through 5. And we'll go through various scriptures together from the English Standard Version. Romans 5 and verses 1 through 5. And Father, we pray that you would speak to us through your word, that you would get me out of the way. We want to hear from you, Jesus. We want to be transformed by you, and we thank you for this opportunity to hear your word, your very word. Amen. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. This is the word of the Lord. You can sit down. Now, I have the audacity to be doing a series of sermons, and I don't expect you to remember this, but it's called the Equipment Series. And some of you went through it in Sunday school, and I've been preaching through that both in this church and in other churches. And it's an acronym, Equipment. I don't like acronyms, but I believe this is from the Lord. And we're at the P of Equipment, which stands for perseverance. And the word in your text is endurance. And they use various English words to translate this Greek word, eupameo. So you'll see that in these various texts, but I'll let you know when it's the same word in Greek. Isn't that fun? Makes us look a little smarter up here, but it's just kind of helpful for you to know the context. We're not any smarter, I guarantee you. But in that, the point of elders, the point of leaders in the church is not to do the ministry for the saints, but to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Amen. And so that is my goal this morning with you by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I want to update you a little bit. I think I told you about the little baby that was healed before we went to India. Do most of you remember that? Rather amazing if you didn't hear that before. Diagnosis was deformed skull, heart on the wrong side, lungs not developing, no kidneys. Mental disability, it just went on and on. And all of that has been healed. We have two ribs that haven't completely grown. And he's really strong and well. I don't understand the mystery, maybe some of you do, of why God does that for some and not for others. I do sometimes wonder, though, if just before you go to India and you're about to bring the gospel, if he does that sometimes for the sake of the gospel, to get the gospel out. Because on street night, we've seen a number of miracles happen, and it's usually in the context of someone needing to see a sign in order to see Jesus. The point is never the miracle, amen? The point is, yes. What did you say? It is very the gospel of John, because a miracle would point to Jesus, and he shares these signs so that we would believe in the name of Jesus and the Son of God. That's good, Mark. Elder Mark has preached. Praise the Lord. I believe in the priesthood of all believers. And he's equipping us for ministry because he preaches the gospel. And that's often the context in which signs and wonders happen. I don't understand. You know, we've prayed, many of us, right, for loved ones, or we prayed for ourselves, and it hasn't happened. I'm not trying to tell you that we have some special formula, and if you come and get our handkerchiefs, you'll get healed. What I'm saying is Jesus is able still to this day to do great things, to do miracles, and to bring his gospel to people. And we've seen that in remarkable ways, in street night, sometimes in my office with people we've sat with and prayed with. And so I want to give God glory for that. And I want to also say that we've been moving in that house church network direction. So Envision Mission remains an outreach to downtown Bellingham, but this Jesus gathering thing has sort of taken a life of its own and has become a house church network. And I'm so appreciative of Hope in Christ's generosity toward Envision. And also your generosity in hosting with a kingdom mindset, this Jesus gathering thing that happens once a month where those house churches come together. I really want to thank you for allowing us to do that here. And I know that for the hospitality team, sometimes that's a bit of a sacrifice if things are missing or whatever, but I really appreciate it. And thank you for having me here. I won't go on much longer, I promise. So let me tell you a story of a fellow who, after he came to Christ in 2007, and after he came to Christ, he did end up in prison. And Aaron understands, and some of you also. But, you know, after he got out of prison, he stayed with our family for about 90 days. And we gave him a time limit, and we wanted him to move forward. While he was staying with us, he had the opportunity to go to the skate park here in town and do a ministry to the kids that had been like he was when he was down and out. And some of these kids wouldn't get three good meals a day and wouldn't have much of a fatherly presence, so I'll call him Roger because I haven't asked for permission to use his name. But he took me and another friend that had been through jail and so on to the skate park, and we would minister to the kids. And I'd just kind of sit back and help them get the pizza and then let them do the work. But I remember Roger working in our house. He was helping us. As part of staying with us, he was working on the floor, you know, kind of earn his keep, right, which he was happy to do. And he was tired, and he knew we had skate ministry that night, and he didn't want to do it. And I said, Roger, we need to do this, man. You made a commitment. Every Wednesday, those kids are waiting for you. You need to persevere. He's just like, oh, man, I don't feel like doing this, brother. But he went. He went to the skate ministry, and he was tired, but he did it anyway. And that's a little example. Isn't it down to the daily details? A little example of a choice that someone makes to keep on going. And I saw the Lord growing in him. I saw him growing in the Lord. And that's a little picture, and I want to refer back to that as I give this message, of this idea of perseverance. Perseverance. So this is so important for us as believers, if we're going to serve and do ministry, to have this quality and to add it to all the other qualities that we have. Let's look at this first verse from Romans 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith. The last time I was with you, I don't expect you to remember. Most people remember about 10% of sermons. So we try to find little cute ways to get you to remember more. But the last time I was with you, I preached on intimacy with God and the importance of having an intimate relationship with the Lord. And this was found to us to be a declaration from God over us that we were his kids. And to believe him in the very places of shame, in the places of our lives that were where we were at our worst, that he brought us praise and we could give his name praise, and that he declared over us that we were his children. Here we have it again. Therefore, and that we can tell what the therefore is there for because he tells us right here. Since you've been justified by faith, he's spent this whole first four chapters telling us how we've been justified by faith. This means that God looks on you as perfect through Jesus Christ. Isn't it hard to believe? But believe it. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we believe it by faith, through his blood, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We hear him saying to us, you are my kids. I look on you as perfect. Your sin is taken away, and we receive it. Amen. That's the foundation for that intimate relationship with Christ. And from there, we learn to stand. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And sometimes that's all you can do. Amen? Honestly, for Roger, as he was at that skate park, he leaned against a pole and he just stood there. He wasn't talking to any of the kids. He wasn't doing any ministry yet. just stood there. And you know what? That's all he could do. And I knew that. It was taking him every bit of grace he'd been given in his life not to just go, I'm done with this, I'm going home. He stood there. And sometimes for you, God has given you enough grace just to stand. And maybe you can't do any more than that. Maybe sometimes you've been in a case where all you could do was lay there and Christ's Spirit had to stand for you. Amen? And sometimes that's all we can do, folks, is stand in Christ and say, no, 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 no. I am justified through Jesus. I have grace. No matter what the devil says to my mind, no matter what's going on in my life, I stand in the grace of God. Glory, hallelujah. Into this grace in which we stand and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. The glory of God, you know, fills heaven and earth. Right now, the glory of God fills this room. Did you know that? Isn't that hopeful? The glory of the Lord fills the earth. Most of the time, we're not aware of that, are we? But it's good to have awareness of that. It gives us hope. The Lord is with us. And for you who believe in Jesus, you've received him in a special way. Yes, he's present everywhere, but now his very person, his very self has been put into you. So you have the glory of God in great measure, the personal glory of God in your heart. This gives us hope. Amen? And so we learn from verse 3, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. I didn't hear an amen there. That's okay. It's pretty real. It's pretty difficult to learn that, isn't it? We learn to rejoice in our sufferings. In our trials, we're called to persevere, whether in relationships we have, temptations we're going through, difficult circumstances, they call for patience. Not only for others, but for ourselves and for God, even, dare I say. Commitment. Commitment is a dying art. Rarely see someone dedicate themselves, for instance, to music like Mozart did to music. And we want to be well-rounded, but this idea of someone committing their life to something. And what better cause to commit our life to but the cause of Christ? And this is where the rubber hits the road, as it were, when trials come. Success in ministry is not results, but faithfulness to the call of God. Success in ministry is not based upon results, but faithfulness to the call of God. If you have that, you can sleep well at night. Just don't trip. My wife goes through difficult times as she watches me up here. The last place I preached, a lady said she was seasick from watching me preach. I'm trying, friends. Praise the Lord. But commitment is a dying art. We must obey the call. This is a marathon, not a sprint. You know who told me that? Pastor Kuhman. Pastor I respect highly from Linden. As he watched me moving into Bellingham as a young 20-something, raring to go to take Bellingham for Christ, he said, Mitch, this is a marathon, not a sprint. In his gentle voice, and I have never forgotten it, but that's so important when we think about perseverance. It has to be a sustainable life that we live, not a life that burns out all the time. And boy, it gets down to someone has sinned against you and you do the hard work of going to them and trying to make it right. Ooh, that's hard. Maybe in a marriage, having the fruit of the Spirit, and you can't just buck up and become more faithful. I think the thing we need to do, God, would you give us the fruit of faithfulness. Would you grant us the fruit of faithfulness? We ask you in Jesus' name. Amen? That's not the end of the sermon. But it's important for you to ask for that fruit, all the fruits of the Spirit, particularly now for the fruit of faithfulness. What are you going through right now? What is your trial? Where is it that you want to give up right now? Where have you become tired? And you make the choice not to give up. There's a host of things it could be in work, in marriage, in ministry, with kids, whatever it may be, with colleagues, with friends that you socialize with. Verse 4. This suffering, going back to verse 3, of course, suffering produces endurance. And that's that Greek word, eupomeo. Perseverance or endurance, the ESV translates it. And endurance produces character. God is more interested in our character than in our comfort. Don't you sometimes wish he was different on that one? Sorry, Lord. But it's true. He's more interested in our character than in our comfort. But he comforts us in the midst, doesn't he? And yet he shapes us. I'm reading a book about Michelangelo, The Agony and the Ecstasy, as he shapes and sculpts. Our brother here will understand this. He is shaping it into something beautiful, but he's knocking it and chiseling it and hitting it. And sometimes doesn't it feel like that in our lives? Like we are being sculpted. I've asked, when I do this as a Sunday school lesson, I ask Bernie Brower to do this Sunday school lesson on perseverance because he embodies faithfulness and perseverance so well as an elder among us. I have watched him for decades ministering faithfully where many people would give up. In fact, we call him Bernie the Bedrock, and he wouldn't like it that I say that. But you begin to persevere through difficulty. You have a character that when hard times come, your character is strong in Christ. Amen? And that's really valuable. It produces character. Character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame. Hope is a kind of joy, isn't it? That's there because we're confident that all will be well. John Bunyan, in his book Pilgrim's Progress, has a line, "All things will be well, and all manner of things shall be well." There is a deep assurance that comes from the Holy Spirit. That is our hope, that God will make all things well. As you go through the thing, it is so vital. As you go through the trial, that you know he will make all things well. He will work all things for the good of those who love him. If faithfulness doesn't come naturally, it becomes all the more important for us to ask for the fruit of faithfulness. And then other people in our lives will know that it's a miracle. What's going on with you? You're not normally like this. I've been asking the Holy Spirit for faithfulness. Praise God. It'll give glory to God if you don't have this naturally. And then it says, he pours his love into us. Isn't that a good picture? Through the Holy Spirit that he's given to us. So it's like, as he says in Ephesians by the Spirit, it's a deposit guaranteeing what's to come on Advent. That's important. He's put his Spirit into us, his very self, guaranteeing that which is to come to encourage us, to give us hope in the midst of what you're going through right now. And as Roger is leaning against that pole, he begins to see the kids. He begins to smile. His obedience begins to cause him to start ministering. Start giving out pizzas. Start talking to the kids. Start relating to them. Just standing there moved him from one place to the next. And he learned to persevere. Eupomeo. Okay, James 1. I'm gonna whip through some scriptures quickly. James 1 says much the same thing. Verses 2 through 4. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, which again is that Greek word, eupameo. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So there is actually the opportunity to get to a place where we can have pure joy in the midst of suffering. It's there. It's in the text. It's possible to have pure joy. I'm not saying happiness, but that confidence that the Lord is with us. We can have hope and joy in Him. All things shall be well. All manner of things shall be well in Christ Jesus. We can have pure joy in the midst of these trials. And this develops in us steadfastness, eupameo. As I looked at that Greek word, I'm sure I'm slaughtering the word, but it did, as I first looked at it, remind me of Rocky in the ring. Round two, round three, just poof, poof, poof. And he's just bleeding in his eyes, you know, practically coming, you know, to the side here, and it's all closed over, and then he comes out for round four and round five. Doesn't it sometimes feel that way in the Christian life? Let's be real. Oh, it's round eight. Oh, I'm still standing. Praise the Lord. That's real. But this develops in us something where we look at Rocky in the ring and we go, wow. Some of us anyway. I know I do when I'm looking at that. I go, wow, Rocky, I'm going to go out there and work out and be like Rocky. You know, I got a long ways to go, but look at that guy. But that's what it can look like in the Christian life. The Hebrew phrase is chutzpah. Jesus really liked it when people had chutzpah. When they would come to him and they'd say, no, Lord, but even the dogs under the table get the crumbs. And Jesus goes, oh, for that answer, your daughter's healed. He loves that kind of thing. He loves to see that in his kids. That kind of chutzpah. Eupameo, perseverance. And we have to let it have its work in us, the text says. Let it have its way. And then there's a promise. We will lack nothing. We will be fully satisfied. Isn't that a great promise? That's what perseverance leads to. Look at the Apostle Peter. He says the same thing. 2 Peter, starting at verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, knowledge with self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness, brotherly affection with love. Quickly. Basically, he's saying you have faith in Christ. I want you to add to your faith virtue or goodness. It is a goodness that comes from the heart. I want you to add to that knowledge. I want you to love God with your heart. I want you to love Him with your mind. And I want you to love Him with your body, with self-control. And then I want you to add to that. I want you to add to that steadfastness. You're loving God with your heart, soul, and might. I want you to add to that eupameo. Steadfastness. There it is again. Persevering from trials and loving God with all you have. And he adds godliness and he adds kindness or brotherly affection. And then he promises in verses 8 through 11, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he's blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. In this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Not just entering the kingdom, but a rich entrance into the kingdom. Do you see the difference there? He's not saying you're saved by adding virtue and works and all this. He's saying you have faith. Praise God, you're justified by faith. Now add to that faith goodness, self-control, perseverance, so that you can enter into the kingdom of heaven, not with a, well, you know, I kind of live for myself, but I'm sure glad you saved me, but whoo, Jesus, it's good to see you. You see the difference? And that's real. That's real. He's coming back, and we will see him face to face, and I want to be excited to see him. Not just saved by the skin of my teeth and going, well, you know, I want to be excited. I hope you do too, because that's why he created you. It gives you an assurance too of your salvation. It doesn't save you to add those things, but it gives you an assurance and an excitement to see Jesus, and I pray that we could grow in that. Finally, Revelation. The Apostle John gives us a word from that prophecy. Revelation 13:10. Just one verse. If anyone is to be taken captive, to captivity he goes. If anyone is to be slain with the sword he must be slain. Here is a call for the endurance, eupomeo, and faith of the saints. I really believe a time of persecution will come to the West. It's already happening in the South and in the East of the world in many countries. I think we will see it here. And I think the importance of learning perseverance is vital, especially to pass on to our kids and our grandkids, that they would learn to persevere in faith. They can, Jesus said, even kill our bodies, but they can't take our souls. They can put us in prison, but we can have peace. As we await Jesus coming this Advent, we can have peace. Things may be seeming to go in a horrible direction, but we can have peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. He will keep our kids. He will keep our grandkids in his hand. We can persevere with that hope. Let's come back to Romans and just finish up with the gospel. Romans 5 again. This time I'm going to read verses 6 through 11. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Remember that when you and I were at our worst, absolutely at our worst, he chose to love us. That's the gospel. I know when someone's at their worst with me, it's awfully difficult for me to love them. And I think that's what the text says. Who's going to do this for anyone else? But God did it for us. Wow. And he looks on us as perfect. He reiterates that justification. This is the gospel. So with that in mind, whatever the trial may be right now, whatever area you need to hear to persevere, hear it from the Holy Spirit this morning. Hear him saying to you, don't give up. Keep going. Don't quit. The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Mighty warriors, would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for the promise of your coming again. Thank you that you came. Thank you that you gave us your Spirit, and you're coming again to make all things well. Lord, we look to you. We want to know you more. We want to learn this perseverance thing. So would you teach it to us this week? Have mercy on us in that. Remember our weakness. But Lord, thank you that you're doing it. You're teaching us because you care about our character more than our comfort. I pray for anyone in this room that doesn't know you, that they would hear that this is the real deal. We're not trying to sell something and make it sound wonderful and easy. It is wonderful, but it isn't easy. And yet, the Lord makes it easy by giving us his easy yoke. So we pray that if anyone in this room doesn't know Jesus, that they would reach out and take, as it were, the hand of Jesus and enter into the kingdom in their hearts even now. And I pray for us who have walked with you, who walk with you now, help us to persevere in Jesus' name. Amen.